prayer this morning that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of our heart as we open your word this morning would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, there is really nothing more vital and there is really nothing more important than truth. People want truth when it comes to obtaining justice. People want truth when it comes to the doctor telling us about our physical condition. And I think in the same way, people want truth when it comes to their physical or when it comes to their spiritual condition. I think the world is asking the questions, who is God? And how can I know him? And how can I find happiness? And what happens to me when I die? You see, truth is reality. And so we don't want to miss truth. We don't want to almost find truth. We don't want to somehow find ourselves in a position where we have found imitations of truth. We want answers that have authority, and we want answers that have dependability. We want to find a rock to stand on. We don't want to find ourselves in shifting sand. This morning, you and I have in our hands one of the greatest gifts we could ever have, and that is the Word of God. This is the book that contains the truth about reality, and it is given to us directly from God himself. In our series entitled The Word of God, A Rock to Stand On, we've learned a number of things. We've learned about how we got the Bible, that the Bible has authority, and that the Bible is inspired by God, and that it is a book without error, and that its message is given to us with great clarity. And I find that most people aren't going to, at least within the church today, aren't going to argue those particular points, but I think the question rises within the church, and that is, what is the Bible really good for? It might be all of these things, but what good is it? What will it really do? And what will it really do in my own personal life? And will it really bring change? Well, I want you to know that God's Word is up for the challenge of those questions. For within the gift of His Word, God has given us everything to help equip us with everything we need to experience life to the fullest. It is the manual to living our lives as God intended them to be lived. The Bible contains all we need for trusting and obeying Him perfectly. The Bible contains everything that God requires of us. In other words, the Bible, the Word of God alone, is sufficient to equip us to understand and experience the reality of what is true as it relates to important topics or concerns in our personal lives. It saves us from the endless task of searching for answers in our world that are subjective and answers that are dependent on feelings or impressions that waver. The Bible helps us come to clear conclusions on things like marriage and what it is. On things like who I should date to be married, how to view divorce, understanding parental responsibilities, what the priorities of the church should look like, what the leadership structure of the church should look like, how to handle our finances, how to think about the moral and ethical issues of our time, how to think about what it means when we talk about personal character, how to deal with and solve conflict, how I should view work and pleasure and even retirement, and the list goes on. See, the sufficiency of Scripture gives us confidence that we will be able to find what God requires of us in terms of what we should think and how we should live in these areas of importance. Everything God wanted to tell us and everything that we need to hear is contained within the Word of God. And so our confidence, as a result, should be unequaled in comparison to any other writings or any other opinions in our world today, because no other writings and no other opinions are of equal value to the Word of God. One of the questions that rises often, and I think in particular our day and within certain denominations, but I don't find it's just within denomination, it's all over, even within the church, and that is, what about dreams? What about visions? What about what people will identify as personal revelation? Should we take those to heart? Are they from God? I had an individual come into my office one time and tell me that God had given him three visions. And I don't have the freedom to go into what those were, but the problem was with most of what he considered to be visions from God were completely contradictory to the Word of God. And it was completely obvious. And so what people may consider to be the voice of God in reality could very well be the subtle voice of the enemy. And so when people start talking about dreams and visions and those kinds of things, a red flag of caution goes up for me, because dreams are subjective. There's no way that you and I can measure them or determine whether or not God is specifically speaking to us in regard to whatever that dream may have been, or whether what we were dreaming is just a result of indigestion the night before, or being in the sun too long, which I was yesterday. And by the way, I had some really weird dreams last night. And I want you to know that some of you were in them.
That's bad.
Well, I woke up this morning, to be in all honesty, I didn't put a whole lot of stock in what those weird dreams were. The only source that is a rock-solid, dependable source for us in our lives is the Word of God. And so with that in mind, will you turn with me, if you're not there already, to Psalm 19? There's no passage of Scripture that is really more concise or clear about the sufficiency and value of God's Word than this particular psalm, with the exception of Psalm 119. Which, by the way, is the longest chapter in the entire Bible with 176 verses. And so, anyway, I thought it would be in everyone's best interest that we stick with Psalm 19 this morning. Sorry, Jeff. Psalm 19 is a psalm of David that starts out really by giving testimony to God's general revelation in creation. God has revealed himself to the entire world through creation. Verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork," and goes really through that theme all the way through verse 6. Then starting in verse 7 through the end of the chapter, it gives testimony to God's special revelation through the Word of God. And those are the verses that we want to consider this morning. These are really God's words about his own word, all right? The verses that we're going to look at here. These verses use five different names for Scripture. You'll notice, beginning in verse 7, the law, the testimonies, precepts, commandments, and rules. Right? And every one of those words is a synonym for God's word. It would be like a diamond, and each of those areas is touching on a different dimension or a different facet of that beautiful diamond. Really, in a sense, that really is what God's word is. It is an endless treasure of truth that we can apply to all areas of importance in our lives. And so that's what we want to break down in this passage. There's eight things I want us to consider, eight things of value that the Word of God does for us in these verses. The first is, Scripture penetrates our soul. Verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." The word perfect
by no surprise, means no imperfections. All right? There's nothing missing. It's comprehensive. It's all-encompassing. It's not almost everything we need. It is everything that we need. And that is why we're told in the Scriptures that we're not to add to it or we're not to take anything away from it. Why? Because we don't want to ruin what's perfect. Now, what does it do? It says it revives the soul. When Scripture talks about the soul, it's referring to their heart. It's referring to the real person inside. It's the part of us that will live forever. And yet we know because of sin, our soul is damaged and it is deserving of God's judgment. And yet what we find here is that God's Word not only has the answer to the problem of our sinful soul, it has the power to penetrate through the diseased, dead condition of that soul and give it eternal life. It revives us, meaning that it transforms us. It fixes us. God's Word brings newness to our soul so that we can be forgiven of sin and reconciled back to God through faith and repentance. It heals us of unrighteousness and clothes us with Christ's righteousness. It takes us from being an enemy of God to becoming sons or daughters of God. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," which is obviously contained within the Word of God, "for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." 1 Peter 1:23, it says, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable," and listen to this, "through the living and abiding Word of God." You know what the beauty of this truth is that it doesn't matter how messed up our soul is. It doesn't matter how stained and evil it is. It doesn't matter how shameful its past looks. The Bible is totally comprehensive in bringing about a totally comprehensive spiritual transformation to a person's life through the powerful gospel message of Jesus Christ. Man, well, that's why they call the gospel good news. It penetrates the deepest and darkest soul imaginable. But we're all included in that, aren't we? And so Scripture penetrates the soul. Number two, Scripture promotes wisdom. Verse 7 goes on to say, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The word testimony means to bear witness. The idea here is that God is giving testimony to Himself. God's Word is revealing Himself to us. It says that testimony is sure. In other words, what God says about Himself is reliable and trustworthy. And the result is that it makes the simple wise. The word simple literally means openness. And the idea here is that it's someone who's gullible to whatever the voices in the crowd say. It's someone not being able to shut his mind to error. This is the person who is wandering aimlessly and going with the current in the river of what's popular and what everybody's saying, which only leads them into foolish living. Now, in contrast to that, the Word of God promotes wisdom, meaning that Scripture gives us skill for daily living. See, Scripture isn't just theory out there. Scripture is very practical in actually helping us know how to live everyday life. And the idea here is not that we merely have knowledge or what we should do or how we should live, but that it helps us apply that knowledge to daily living. That is what we call biblical wisdom. Listen, if we're not in the Word of God, we are susceptible to the voices and the philosophies of error within our culture today. The only thing that can attack error is truth. You can't trust what the world says, but you can trust what the Word says. Because the world will take you down the wrong path, but the Word will take you down the right path. Great place to read is the book of Proverbs. Call it the book of wisdom. It's just full of wisdom. One of the most wonderful promises in the Bible has to do with wisdom, and is found in James 1:5 that says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and he gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." I can't tell you how often I've prayed that prayer, asking God for wisdom and preparing to meet with someone or to handle a given situation, and how many times over and over and over again God has just answered that prayer. Need wisdom? I think we all need wisdom, don't we? Well, the place to find it is in the Word of God. Number three, Scripture produces joy. Verse 8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." And when you notice here, just the progression to where we have come from verse 7. First of all, the Word of God penetrates your heart and transforms you. Then it makes you wise for everyday living. And then in the process of doing what it says, the Word of God causes you to rejoice. The word precepts means principles or doctrines. And when it says they are right, it's not referring to right opposed to wrong, but the idea is that it's taking us in the right direction. In other words, the Word of God is mapping out for us how to get through the maze of life, keeping us from getting lost or sidetracked or harmed. And the result? Well, when we follow the path of God's Word and conform our thinking and living to the Word of God, we have joy in our life. And you say, well, why is there joy in my life when I follow the Word of God? Well, the answer is because you're doing what God created you to do. Maybe another way to look at it is this. When you're obeying the Word of God, you're not sinning against God. And when you're not sinning against God, your conscience is clear before God. And if your conscience is clear before God, you're more happy. Right? I think we've all experienced that. And that is why Christians who love the Lord and love the Word of God still have joy even in the midst of experiencing difficulties and trials and heartache. God's joy is something that penetrates even in the midst of those circumstances. Scripture has much to say about the Word and joy, the correlation of those two things. Let me just read some of those verses to you. Psalm 119, verse 14, "In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches." Psalm 119, verse 111, "Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart." Psalm 119, 162, "I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil." Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." Jeremiah 15, 16, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me joy and the delight of my heart." And then Luke 11, 28, Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So Scripture produces joy. Number four, Scripture provides discernment. Verse 8 says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." The word commandment here means mandate, or it means absolute command. The word pure means radiant or clear. See, the Word of God doesn't have some secret code that you have to figure out. God has put in his book, into words that we can understand, resulting in the enlightenment of our eyes so that he can give us discernment in life. Okay? I think we all know very well that we live in a dark world where there is pain and tragedy. We just saw so much of that this week, didn't we? Suffering, difficulty, injustice, hardship. And as our world experiences these things, they look at that and go, I mean, what is this? There's confusion. There's often anger. It's almost a disillusionment. And even for us as believers sometimes, right, as we go through some of those difficulties in life, it does get confusing and it does get difficult. And sometimes we don't see things the way we need to see things. And so as a believer, though, the Word of God gives us discernment. It helps us see things from God's perspective. It helps us see God's purposes in the midst of those things. It brings clarity in the midst of fear and confusion. It helps us see hope in the person of Jesus Christ. Again, I found that in the midst of the greatest challenges and difficulties in my life, as I've gone to the Word of God, I found the greatest clarity and discernment in my life. Whether I should go into ministry, whether I should move to Michigan, you know? I mean, who I should marry, how to deal with cancer and death of my father, and I mean the list can go on and on of all these decisions and all these circumstances that God has been so faithful in just helping give perspective and discernment in the midst of. And so I ask you this morning, are you struggling? It really shouldn't be a question, it should be a statement, right? Because I know there's people struggling in this congregation. Are you confused in the midst of those circumstances? Can I just encourage you to go to the Word of God, where you will find your greatest comfort and you will find the most discernment in the midst of those things. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Just helps us see things the way they need to be seen. Number five, Scripture presents stability. Verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." Now, what does the fear of the Lord have to do with the word of the Lord? Well, I think the fear of the Lord is to worship the Lord. And the Bible is our manual as to how we're to do that. The word clean means no impurities. Okay, in other words, Scripture is flawless, it's without error, and it endures, it says, forever. Okay, it's not good for just a little while and then goes away. It's not a trend. It's not going to let you down. It's not on again, off again. It's a rock that provides stability in a world where everything does pass away and where people do disappoint and where there is change and decay. And yet, what a wonderful truth that the Word of God will always be there. And that it endures and it is relevant to every generation, to every culture, and into every language in the world that has ever been. Mark 13:31, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Do you need stability in your life? The only thing that will truly be stable for you is the Word of God. Number six, Scripture promises justice. "The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether," verse 9. The word "rules" means judgments. Okay, and the idea here is that it's describing God's verdict or his pronouncements of consequence and punishment for sin. Now, the fact that his judgments are true and righteous, I think then we can rest assured that in the final judgment, God will bring about justice that is fair and right as it will be measured up against his holiness and righteousness. Do you feel frustrated sometimes as you look around you and you see all of the injustice and all of the corruption? Sometimes it gets me a little bent out of shape. But the thing I need to remember is that God will bring all of that in due time to true justice. His word makes that promise to us. Number 7, Scripture pledges reward. Verse 11, moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Obedience to God's word always results in rich spiritual blessings. John 13:7, Jesus said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And so just like God will bring justice to those who disobey his word, God will honor those who obey his word. Sometimes you may wonder if it's worth doing things God's way. I'm sure we've all thought that at different times. But can I tell you, the answer is it's always worth doing things God's way. 100% of the time. Doesn't matter how we may feel. There is great reward in keeping the word of God. And number 8, Scripture protects from sin. Verse 12 and 13, it says, who can discern his errors? In other words, I can't. Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous or willful sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Listen again here. David recognizes that only God and his word can protect him from sin. He has a hard time even figuring it out. He says, who can discern his errors? Listen, you and I don't have the power to fight temptation and sin apart from the word of God. Think of the example in Matthew chapter 4, where even Jesus was facing temptation when he was in the wilderness for 40 days. And every time Jesus was tempted, what did he do? I mean, did Jesus kind of just like close his eyes or close his ears and go and just kind of hoped it went away? Did Jesus run in fear of temptation? No, actually what Jesus did is he pulled out the sword of God's word and he killed every temptation that Satan threw at him. Because each time Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written, referring to the scriptures, using the word of God. And if Jesus needs to use the word of God to fight temptation, then surely we do as well. Listen, all of us face temptation and all of us struggle with particular sins. Question is, how do you respond to those things? What do you do when they come? Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Answer, by guarding it according to your word. Verse 11 of Psalm 119, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, practically, what does that look like? Well, I think there's a couple different things that we can note here. One is, as you spend time in the word of God, it will convict you of sin in your life. It will reveal what's there in comparison to the holiness of God, and God will convict you and bring you to the point of confession and repentance so that you can live with joy again. I think the other part of this is that we also need to take the word of God, as that verse in Psalm 119 says, keep it in our hearts and apply it to any given situation when it arises. So for example, when I'm tempted to fear, I claim by faith what God's word says about fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and self-discipline. When I am tempted to lust, Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and greed, which is idolatry. And there's many other verses that address these areas of temptation and other areas that we may be struggling with. And as I take those truths in a prayerful manner, often quoting Scripture multiple times and clinging on to that truth, God gives victory over temptation and sin in those particular situations. The Word of God is a very powerful thing to protect us from sin. It has the ability to cut through the facades and the external showmanship and penetrate and reveal what is at the deepest parts of our heart. Listen, this holy book produces a holy life. And if you're not spending time in the Word, you are putting yourself in a very spiritually weak position, resulting in vulnerability to temptation and sin. So don't be surprised when you fall into sin if you're not spending time in the Word. Brian mentioned this quote, and I'll mention it again. I think it's just so fitting. I've written this quote in the front of my children's Bibles that says, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And so, in conclusion, do you want truth? Do you want to know reality? Well, then I would say, look no further than the Word of God, for it is sufficient to give you everything you need to know about everything you need to know. And as you look to the Word, you will find, as the psalmist said in verse 10, it is greater than gold, it is sweeter than honey. In other words, it is better than anything this world has to offer, because it is sufficient and it is powerful to accomplish what nothing else can accomplish. All I can tell you is that the more I go to this book, and the more that I depend on this book, and the more that I apply this book, the more I see God working in my life, and the more I enjoy my life in Christ. And you want to know why? Because to spend time in this book is to spend time with God. And to spend time with God will change your life. So may we not make light of the fact that we have the greatest gift in our hands this morning. And may this gift not be something that we just take to this gathering on Sunday mornings and we open it up once on Sunday mornings and then we set it on a shelf. That gift does us no good. But if the Word is sufficient, then the Word should be a priority to us when we open it. We should be opening it daily, and so may God help us to trust it. May God help us to rely on it more often, and may He help us to rely on it more than any other source. Let's pray. Father, I pray that again your word, as we have opened it this morning, would bring change to our lives. You've told us that where your word goes forth, it will not bring back void. It will accomplish its purposes. So, Lord, my prayer this morning is that we would be a people of the Word. That we would be a people dependent on the Word. That we would be a people to hold high your word in our lives. That we would be a people that would filter everything we think and everything we do through your word. And so, Lord, I pray that your word would help us to understand better who you are and what you want for us. Thank you for its many promises. Thank you for the way it endures and for how dependable it is. And so may we make much of it, even as we go from this place today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close,